we present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. Opening time again, and another My Music takes the air. The contestants, Ian Wallace, partnered by Dennis Norden, John Amis, and his partner, Frank Muir. Ian McWallace. The first question goes to you, and it's a very simple one, calling, though, for a rather specific answer. Who is dancing? On your woolly berry and tell me the answer.
Clearly a Scots piece.
Yes.
Well, you know, you may laugh, ladies and gentlemen, but I think it is.
Yes.
And which piece? I think it is modern.
Yes.
And I think it is an overture called Tam O'Shanter.
That's right. Malcolm Arnold's Tam O'Shanter overture. So the dancers would be as in
as in the poem, which would make them witches and warlocks.
The other way round, actually. And Tom saw an unco's sight, warlocks and witches in the dance, so it was such a scary night.
Well, he would say sicht and nicht.
Yeah, well, of course he would, but you
don't worry about it.
You wouldn't expect me to say that.
Interesting, I always think it's an interesting thing that I'm sure thousands and thousands of people who have seen a famous sailing ship called Cutty Sark think that that's probably something very nautical in the title. But a Cutty Sark, which also occurs in this poem, is a shift cut short.
A short shirt?
It was a short shift because it was worn by the ladies in this Kirk, where they were all dancing, and they had their shifts cut short so that their legs had plenty of room for this tremendous dancing that they were doing.
Well, very un-Kirk-like, the whole thing.
It was, but then one doesn't know whether this was just a fantasy, an alcoholic fantasy of the gentleman looking in the window of the Kirk as he went home on his horse, rather the worse for wear.
The night shift, I presume.
Or the nicht shift.
Yeah, nicht shift, yes. Dennis, this isn't a dance, it's a street scene. The inhabitants of a township welcoming the arrival of a kind of 19th century travelling supermarket.
Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon, it's a coming now. I don't know how I can ever wait to see. It could be something for someone who is no relation, but it could be something special.
Dennis, a citizen of which town or city?
Oh, it would be the city where they got trouble in, River City.
River City, Iowa.
Trouble in River City.
That's right, in Meredith Wilson's
The Music Man.
Yes, yeah. They were welcoming the arrival of the Wells Fargo wagon. Hence, of course, the Latin tag, Sic Transit Wells Fargo. Which I've been waiting to work in a programme, but you have to wait a long time to work in a line like that. John, this piece of chamber music remains, I believe, unpublished. Can you identify the composer? Very slender evidence from just a few bars. Think you could possibly know the work, because it is unpublished. It's obviously not unrecorded. Did you catch a glimpse of a composer anyway?
It sounds a bit like old Fred, or rather young Fred.
Yes, young, very young Fred. Fred?
Yes, Delius.
Yes, Frederick Delius's unpublished Sonata in B, written in 1892, played there by David Stone, and it gets you a couple of marks, John.
I recently heard an interview on tape that Beecham gave on television when his book on Delius was published. And there's a marvellous example, if I can remember it rightly, of Beecham rhetoric. Because the interviewer said, was Delius a good conductor? And Beecham says, well, in my time, I have heard good conductors, competent conductors, indifferent conductors, mediocre conductors, but in all my born days, I have never heard such a depth of ineptitude as evinced by poor old Frederick on the podium.
Frank, after the first performance of this concerto, the critic Hanslick wrote, presumably in his own language, "The last movement stinks." The last movement... Oh, you've got it, John. Last movement of what?
Oddly enough, I recognise the quotation. It's Tchaikovsky's piano concerto. Violin
concerto, yes, that's right. The soloist there was Eugene Fodor. Anyway, you've got the marks there.
A brief musicological point. You know, but these two concertos of Tchaikovsky's that got terribly panned, the piano concerto, which Rubinstein refused to play, and the violin concerto, which Hanslick tore the manuscript off, they both exist now in very much revised versions.
That's interesting, because Rubinstein...
And I wonder what those originals would sound like.
The old Anton Rubinstein, of course, not Arthur, but Anton Rubinstein said that the piano concerto was unplayable, didn't he? And I played it as a student at the Academy. But I played it in a simplified version, did I?
Did you? In C major?
Oh, no.
Come on. I'm not falling for that. Let's move on.
Piano medley time.
Oh.
Six tunes each, a small piece of paper for Frank, very small, and three marks available. And I should perhaps warn you that one or two of them meld into one another rather quickly this week.
Oh, good.
So make sure the ink in your pen is free-flowing. Right? Here we go then with medley for Ian and Dennis. You're right, Frank. Yes. How did you get on, Ian? Dennis?
Well, I didn't get the first one.
No, it was the Adagietto from Les Biches by Poulenc, another ballet.
Oh, well, right. Then Chitty Bitty Bin.
Yes.
And then the overture of the He Brides.
The He Brides, yes. Or Fingal's Cavey.
Yes.
The Hebrides, Fingal's Cavey. Yeah. Then, very brief.
Yeah, that was too brief for me.
Did you get it? No, of course you didn't.
No, I've got some. Yes.
I've got it down as the end suite. Oh.
Yes, well, all right, I'll give you that.
Where did I get this from? Come, 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 remember you're a plum.
Remember you're a plum.
Wasn't there a radio series called The Plums?
I don't know.
Very early.
Ron and S. Plum, was it?
Somebody will confirm that somewhere out there in the dark.
Gum. While you were not writing down the overture or Farandol from Lalaisienne or whatever it was you weren't writing down, Ian, were you writing down the next song?
Yeah. Oh, my baby, my curly-headed baby.
My curly-headed baby, that's right. And then ma something else.
Ma Funny Valentine.
Ma Funny Valentine.
Yeah.
Was that all? Because
you rather went to town a bit. I was waiting for it to change.
As Frank has been known to remark, I did rather enjoy playing.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Also, once I started it, I couldn't seem to get out. Five out of six, 2.5 marks out of three, and a medley for John and Frank. Thank you.
Right. A dolly.
The first one, John, please.
Try four.
Yes,
Tchaikovsky. Symphony number 4 in F minor, opus 36.
First movement.
I've got Wedding March. It is, isn't it?
Very like it, yes. The second one.
Second one?
I haven't got a second one. In a sense, I have, but it's rather lower down.
Can't give you that Sorrento.
I mean, the first six notes.
Yes. But you can't patent five notes of the minor scale, can you? Sorrento. Then came...
Chopin, waltz.
Yes.
Not a waltz.
Well, Chopin.
Mazurka.
Yes, a mazurka. Shall we give them that, Dennis? Or should we not? All right, yes, we'll give them that one. A Chopin mazurka in...
In a concert hall.
Well, since you said it was a waltz and it's actually mazurka in G minor, I don't really see why I should give you the...
We don't care.
Because you got the next one. That's why you don't
Any umbrellas?
Yeah, well, the title...
Any umbrellas?
Something serenade.
Stephanie Gavotte. Okay. The old Umbrella Man.
Umbrella Man will do, yes. Umbrella Man. Then...
Love's Last Word is Spoken, bracket, Sherry.
Well, yes, that's right. And to end our
selection... When April Sings.
Good. 4 out of 6. 2 marks. A lady living in Peldon, Colchester, wants to know why there is no official signature tune for that overworked group of labourers, the National Union of Housewives. We need, she says, a stirring anthem for housewives. I'll tell you her suggestions later. Meanwhile, how about yours? Ian, a theme song for housewives.
I can't think of anything very stirring, but there might be a... You know that number from Kismet? I was thinking one might have called it... Baskets, Babies and Feeds.
Oh, that's a bit deep, that one is. Da-dee-da-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum, baskets, babies and feet. Yes, very clever, that. Baubles, bangles and beads. Oh, that get you a mark in any game, I think that would, yes. Dennis has been furiously writing and has come up with...
Well, if we're to take this with the seriousness with which we... I think it's got to be a blues.
Housewives.
And I would suggest that somebody write one called... I've got those supermarket, do the shopping, fetch the kids, cook the supper. I did it his way, blues.
Have you ever thought of standing for Parliament, Dennis?
Somebody once said, it was a woman journalist, I'm trying to remember how to say it, she said that a woman... will spend her day getting up, cooking the breakfast, cleaning the house, fetching the shopping, doing the laundry, polishing the floors, taking the kids home from school, mowing the garden, preparing the supper, mending the clothes. That is not what hurts. What hurts is when somebody says to her husband, "Does your wife work?" And he says, "No, she's a housewife."
Yeah. Yes. Where have we got to? Oh, yes, John. A signature tune for housewives.
Well, housewifery makes me think of washing. Washing makes me think of Purcell. And Henry Purcell...
Oh, dear.
The cold water machine.
...wrote a very nice song called What Can We Poor Females Do?
Did he?
Which I think might be suitable. Yes. But if the housewife is feeling aggressive, there's a catch by Henry Purcell called Pox on You for a Fop.
Smashing Scrabble words in there.
Yes. If only there were two X's in the Scrabble board, which there aren't. Mark to you, Frank.
There's a song which Ian sings most beautifully and is one of my favourite of his songs, in which I requested, and you did it a second time, which goes, Leaning, do you remember? Oh, yeah. Cleaning up the plates and then the sink and then the dirty floor and do it all the livelong day.
Jolly good. Mrs. Margaret Kimberley, who suggested this round and had time to think, of course, wanted to offer Dust a Song at Twilight. Terribly far-fetched, she offered Wagner's Sea Egg Fried Idyll. And for those who knit, she suggests Old Man Ribber. This is a round of what might be called vocal oddities. There's something just a little unusual about each of the singing performances. Ian, this is a film star singing. I'm sure you must have seen him many times as an actor. I think the voice is quite recognisable. Can you identify him?
Such a crowded room, but there was just the two of us. Eyes across the room, agree there was just two of us. We danced a bit, held idle conversation, but we could feel a strange and wonderful sensation.
You get him?
We had a little meeting during that and decided that it has to be Tony Curtis.
Tony Curtis is right, yes.
And that's entirely Dennis's...
He's immortalised in a film called The Black Knight of Falworth, where he says he's yonder the castle of your father.
That's right. And in that little excerpt we just heard, he immortalised that well-known Jewish actor, Eyes Across the Room. Eyes Across the Room. Dennis, just to complicate matters, this is an impression of a famous singing star given by someone who usually appears off-screen.
Big the birds, toppens the bag, toppens, toppens, toppens the bag.
Who was it?
Well, it was great. It was supposed to be Julie Andrews.
Yes, it's very good, isn't it?
Yeah, super, yeah. Well, it's purely guesswork. If you say it's somebody's... Is it the girl who voices for people who don't... Yes. For Deborah Kerr, people like that?
Yes, that's right.
Well, that's Marnie Nixon.
Marnie Nixon, yes. She was Deborah Kerr in Shall We Dance, wasn't she? Sorts of people. Marnie Nixon there imitating beautifully Julie Andrews, Mark, to you. John, who is this singer with a rather lighter type of material than one sometimes hears her sing?
You wouldn't think they dare to go merrymaking there. Well, they do. Yes, they do.
I think it's an Armenian lady.
That's right.
And her name is Kathy Beberian.
Beberian, that's right. Kathy Beberian, yes. Getting laughs, I never quite know whether she wants them, but she gets them, doesn't she?
No, it's very clever, isn't it?
Yes, you never know for certain.
No.
It was like Florence Foster Jenkins, whom we discussed once on this programme. You never quite know whether she knew or not.
I don't think you can quite put her...
No, but I mean, getting laughs. I'm tempted to ask you, who gave the... Or anybody, who gave the really unforgettable version of that song, There Are Fairies at the Bottom of Our Garden?
Bee Lilly.
Yes, Bee Lilly. She too used to sing, but they do, and get laughs in exactly the same place. Yes, marvellous. Frank, the fact that the language you're about to hear is German won't fool you one little bit. What do they say in German? Ein wenig. Who was the singer?
Ich bin kein Snick, Snack, Snick, Snack, Snuckelchen vom Pier. Und ein Seele kommt bei mir, nicht das Klavier.
Any idea?
Well, it's that kind of breathy non-singing, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
So it's a non-singer?
Really, yes. An actress. Glamour girl.
Jane Mansfield.
That's right. Mark to you. If I were to ask Dennis to sing at this point, you wouldn't mind, Dennis, would you?
No. Are you still on the vocal?
I have a feeling that if you made a film, they'd get someone else to record the songs off screen. Perhaps Marnie Nixon. Yeah. You know. Or perhaps Ian Wallace would sing.
Yeah, that's what they said about an actor. Keep the voice, dub the acting.
So, Dennis, with daylight saving in mind, a songwriter, or perhaps a team, I don't remember, came up with the suggestion that there ought to be a nocturnal version of Daylight Saving Time. Can you remember how this went, this song?
No, I can remember the song. By golly, you're not diving back for some of these.
I'll give you a few notes.
Yeah. There ought to be a moonlight saving time so I could love this girl of mine. And does it repeat there? Down, 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 until the dawn.
That's right, yes. There ought to be a moonlight saving time, gets you a mark.
That came out, it was on the back. My father had it as a 78, and on the other side was a song that went, ever. How do you feel when you marry your ideal? Ever so goosey, 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 goosey.
They all know.
I often think of that because I don't think anybody ever feels goosey anymore, do they?
No.
I haven't felt goosey in years.
John, your magnificent whistling solo the other week has stirred up such a storm of apathy that I thought we might hear again from J. Amis' celebrated siffleur. Can you manage an avian piece written by Ronald Gourlay?
An avian piece. An introduction. You'd like to give me a
coming up
an accord.
The chirruping of the bird is on the sycamore tree. They're lucky to be so happy and free. I know that they're chirping out a little ditty to me. I hear them saying early every morn, get up, get up, get up. The twittering of the bird is on the sycamore tree. It's lovely to see them having a spree. A cheeky one popped out upon the sill and said, get out of bed.
Do you know the real whistling bit that comes after that?
Well, I'm very glad you said that, Dennis. Can you go on?
Just you know it.
No,
whistle it.
He can do it.
Is that young man bit, is it? Yeah. Oh, yes, that's it.
Sang in Berkeley Square.
Dickie Bird Hop caught me a bit on the hop, doesn't it? Frank, an old time song asking someone why he's escorting a different girl from the one he took to Brighton.
Hello! Hello! Whom shall I defend? Who's the little girlie by your side? I've seen you with a girl or two. I am surprised at you. Hello! Hello! What's your little game? Isn't it time you tried to mend your ways? It isn't the girl I saw you in on Friday. Who's your lady friend?
Ian, it'd be nice to have one of these old-time songs from you as well. Two Little Girls in Blue, a song with an astonishing revelation in the penultimate line.
it's so astonishing that you hear it and you just don't take it in. And as you don't take it in, can I suggest that we do a chorus and then have the audience have a little repeat chorus?
What a lovely idea.
How would that be?
Two little girls in blue, lad. Two little girls in blue. They were sisters, we were brothers, and learned to love the two. And one little girl in blue, lad, who won your father's heart, became your mother. I married the other, but now we have drifted apart. All together now. Two little girls in blue.
Two little girls in blue.
They were sisters.
won your father's heart.
Won your father's heart.
Became your mother.
Became your mother. I married the other. And now we have drifted apart.
I'm afraid this is where we and our listeners have to drift apart, though only till the next edition of the series. This week it's been a victory by half a mark, ladies and gentlemen, for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Bye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreier.